Let's go to Romans 7, and let's read to verse 18 down to verse 25. Romans 7, verse 18 down to verse 25. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Let's pray together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for these things being so true, especially to those of us that are here this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray that this morning your words would have a place within our hearts, and may you do spiritual work among us today. We just ask for you to do some surgery on us spiritually this morning, Lord, as we all need it. And I pray that we would see ourselves as we ought in your sight. And I pray that you just help us as we live in this present evil world to continue to be bright and shining lights for you. And I pray that this message this morning will even help in us being that. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there is a particular individual in our church that has been giving me all kinds of trouble. And it's high time that this person be called out. I'm kind of sick of you giving me trouble. I'm tired of it. Getting all kinds of grief from this person. You're getting called out this morning. The person that I'm talking about is right here this morning. In our midst, in our presence. And for some reason, every time I come to church, this person is here. And they're giving me all kinds of fits. And I'm sick of it. Got your attention yet? Is it you? It's actually me. Person I'm talking about that gives me more trouble than anybody, I mean anybody, is me, Micah Rockwell. And if you look at what we read this morning, the Apostle Paul tells us about a great dilemma that you face if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this message is primarily to folks that are saved this morning. And if you take a look there at verse 18, the first thing we read there, this is Paul talking. Now, before I read what Paul said, myself, I consider Paul to be a far, 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 far better Christian than I have been, I am now, have been in the past, or ever will be. So this is the guy that is, you could say, one of the top Christians of all the church age, and look what he says about himself. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth what?" Help me out there. There's nothing in Paul that was good because he's talking about his flesh being exceeding sinful. If you will read Romans 6, 7, and 8, Paul goes through, and there was a time where I had a bunch of this memorized. I could probably still say a decent amount of chapter 6, 7, and 8. But I know that when I read chapter 6, 7, and 8, and you put it in your heart, you can't help but just greatly identify with what Paul is saying because it's so personal to what I am and what you are, if you're honest with yourself. Now, you know what us Christians like to do? We like to disguise ourselves, don't we? We like to make people think we're something. How about we just acknowledge what we really are? Here's the essence of the message today. I'll give it to you in a sentence. You and I are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Now, if you're saved, amen, but you're still living, at least at this present moment, I and you are both living in a body of flesh that is exceeding sinful. So let's go on here. By the way, the first part of the message is going to be rough for all of us. I say us. I'm right with you. But it'll get better at the end, I promise. There'll be a happy ending. Isn't that the gospel? It's rough at first. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. You deserve God's wrath. That's what you deserve, being a sinner. Now, the world doesn't like to hear that, do they? That's bad news. You got to acknowledge that first. Now, here's the good news. Jesus Christ, sinless, The only sinless one died for sinners and rose again. And if you'll call on him to be your Savior, he'll save you. But you acknowledge what you really are before you can be saved. So bad news first here this morning, folks. Paul tells us this morning here in Romans 7 that our eternal destination is sealed, but our earthly situation is quite troubling. So Paul's going to tell us the struggle that he experienced. And this is all, make sure you get this in history here, all that Paul is telling me and you this morning is after he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's very important you get that. This is after. This is a saved man talking. So we live in a world full of sin, yet sin should not be our focus. It has been said, the darkest fact in man is sin. The grandest fact in God is forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. There's a fella way back in the early, 300, 400 A.D., John Chrysostom, a very eloquent preacher. Here's what he said. There is only one calamity, and that is sin. And it's time that us Christians take sin seriously. It is only when Christians take sin seriously that we will see the lost world as we ought, sinners in need of a Savior. If you realize how sinful you are, even though you're saved, your flesh is exceeding sinful, I think we're more likely to realize how sinful the world is because they don't have Jesus Christ and they need to know Him. So in this morning's message, as I said, we'll have a little rough beginning, but it'll get better. So in the first four verses of our passage, Paul is telling us about the struggle he experienced to simply do that which is right in God's sight. You ever hear of a schizophrenia? What is that? Somebody help me out. What is schizophrenia? Split personality, something like that? If you read what we read here that Paul said, he sounds like two different people. Did you catch it? He sounds like he's a little crazy, but he's not. He's just telling you how it really is, being saved, yet living in a body of sin. Look what he says there in verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Okay, let me give you a little paraphrase there. Paul's saying, I want to do right, but I don't do right. Look at the next verse. Verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he says, the reason why I want to do right, and I do the best I can to do right, but I don't do right, is because I'm still living in a body of sin. And then he says, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, what's there? Evil is present with me. Folks, victory in the Christian life is available. But notice I said the word victory. Victory indicates there was a struggle prior, right? And this is a struggle. I know that I've heard it preached. This is a daily struggle. I disagree with that. That is a second-by-second struggle. If you're saved, this is a struggle every second of the day. In fact, the only time that I get a break from it is when I'm asleep. And when you're asleep, you get a little bit of a reprieve. That's why sleep can be so sweet. You get a little bit of reprieve from this, but then you wake up and there it is. I mean, it's right there the very second you wake up. Flesh, spirit. I mean, it is just a battle. You know what happens, you folks that are saved, you know what happens at the rapture, right? At the rapture, you get a brand new body. Do you know what that means? That means there's no more battle between the flesh and the spirit anymore. And I know that we like to, us Christians are really bad about this. I'm identifying with you. I'm not getting on you. I 100,000% identify with this message. We like to do this. We like to say, oh, the devil this and the devil that. And oh, the world this and the world that. And you know what it is a whole lot of the time? We just don't want to acknowledge it. It's the flesh. It's me. It's you. So let's acknowledge what we really are. And let's see what we can do to fix it. Because there is a solution. All right? Look there. He says there in verse 18. Go back there to verse 18. He says, that in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Verse 20, go down there. In me, he says, sin that dwelleth in me at the end of verse 20. Sounds like Paul's got a problem with something inside him. Then in verse 21 there, we read it at the end of verse 21, evil is present with me. So hold on a second. I thought that Paul was the guy who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't he brag on the Lord as much as anybody? In fact, you're not going to find anybody in the New Testament that bragged on Jesus Christ more than Paul. He wrote 13 books, and every single chapter, you will find him bragging on what Jesus Christ did for him. It's not about Paul, it's about what the Lord did for him. Hold on a second. That's the guy that's talking right here? It's the same guy. He brags on the Lord Jesus Christ, but then right back here, he's telling us how I'm doing wrong, yet I want to do right. By the way, this is the same guy that suffered on behalf of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Wasn't he beaten and stoned? One time they left him for dead, stoned him, left him for dead. Gets right back up. He's put in prison because of his boldness for Jesus Christ. Yet when I read the verses that we read, 18 to 21, I see a guy who says, I'm no good. And you say both of those things are true. Here's a guy who stood boldly for Jesus Christ, yet he acknowledges that he himself is nothing. Pastor in Sunday school read the verse this morning, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, I'm the least. Folks, Paul had it right. He knew that he was nothing without Jesus Christ. Now, what are you? What am I? I am nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am completely worthless. Any good thing, in fact, I want to show you this verse. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. I think it's Philippians. Let me make sure I get this right. Go to Philippians. I believe it is. Philippians chapter 1. Any good thing that comes out of you is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. Look what it says here. Being confident. You there yet? Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, that verse right there, what kind of work did God do in you if you're saved? What does that verse say? What kind of work? A good work. A good work only comes about by Jesus Christ doing work in you. So any good thing that comes out of you or out of me, and it's not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Him. So let's make sure we get that this morning. Truth be told, here's the whole message. If you get this, you get the whole message. We are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was away for the last 2 weeks, you know that. And I heard and saw a lot of things in the boys that I was around and the adults that I worked with. Some of the things I heard and witnessed, they grieved me greatly. I'll just give you one thing. The music of today is, I can't even explain it. I don't know a word to say it. It's wicked. It was even close to describing what it is. When you have cursing practically every other word. And then, how about this one? How about this one? This is the music of today. Let me back up and come back to this. Haven't we heard in the last year and a half how we have a race problem in our country? Have you heard that? You know what a lot of the music has in it today? Derogatory terms towards a certain group of people. So if you're hearing this in your music, do you think you might say some words that would sound like you're a racist? So this is what I went through at camp. These kids are listening to this music, and then we've got this kid that says this, and this kid that says this, and they're accused of being racist because of their language. And I would say, well, that came from your music. Oh, but that was just in the song. Well, hold on. What just was in the song just came out of your mouth. I don't think you would be saying it if you hadn't heard it. You see how this goes here? The world's a mess. So the music is just, it's deranged. Maybe that's a good word to give it. I think it kills brain cells. That's just I'm not a scientist. I'm not a professional in this area. I think that the music today just kills brain cells. Maybe I'm wrong on that. It definitely messes with the brain. I can say that for sure. So I'm hearing this, and then we've heard so much about the sodomite agenda, which Pastor mentioned, right? So here I am around, and I had this conversation with a 13-year-old boy this week. And I cannot tell you in this company what was going on. But I had this conversation with him, and I said, is this okay, what you're doing? And we're just playing around. So what I'm seeing as a pathway to sodomy is just seen as, we're just playing around. So what's the next step? We're just playing around. And then the next step, we're just having a good time. And this is all, by the way, all I'm telling you here, and I know that you're probably kind of confused with the details here, but I'm just telling you that all that's happening in the name of normal is going down the path of sodomy and just absolute destruction. So, I can't tell you more, but just take my word on that. I'm appalled at what I see. So it's real easy for me, and if you were there too, you would sit back and say, wow, what a bunch of sinners. What a bunch of sinful people. And then I would go to the bathroom every morning and look in the mirror, and there I am. And you know what I am? I'm no better. In fact, the only way I'm anything at all is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know it's grieving to live in this world, but folks, you understand, the only way that you escaped all the wickedness of this world is because of what Jesus Christ did for you. That's the only way. All right, go over to Philemon. You're in Philippians. Go to the right a few verses. Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you got 1, 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon right before Hebrews. A little short book. Look at verse 4. Again, Paul writing here. Look what he says here. 1:4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now watch verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by, now watch it, the acknowledging of every, what is it? Every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. If you have any good thing in you, how do you have any good thing in you? It's because of Jesus Christ being in you. Now hold on a second. It says Jesus Christ being in you, but what did Paul say over in Romans 7? What else is in you? Sin, which is in me. Is sin in me, or is Jesus Christ in me? I thought we were sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption if we're saved. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, it says that. Is the Holy Spirit in me, or is sin in me? Is Jesus Christ in me, or is sin in me? Which is it, folks? Help me out. It's both. Do you see the struggle here? Go to Galatians. You're there in Philemon. Go back to your left. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you this. Galatians chapter 5. The first point this morning. What dwells within? You'll get some D's this morning. The first D. What dwells within? And what dwells within us? You'll see here in Galatians 5. Look at verse 17. It says, Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against what? And the spirit against the what? And these are, what's that next word, everybody? Contrary. That means they're opposites. They're contrary, the one to the other. Now watch it. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Doesn't that sound like what Paul said in Romans 7? I want to do right. I'm trying to do right. I don't do right. The reason why we don't do right all the time is because we got this battle going on. And you know what happens to me and to you, if you're honest? You don't always surrender to the Holy Spirit. The word in the Bible is yield. You don't always yield to the Holy Spirit. Instead, you yield to what's contrary to the Spirit, everybody? You yield to the flesh. And what's the result of yielding to the flesh, everybody? Sin. All right, look what it says there in verse 18. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now watch verse 19. You're going to get a whole lot of things here that you are without Jesus Christ, that I am without Jesus Christ. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Isn't that interesting? This is written in the first century. And the first four sins I see there, the first four sins of the flesh, all have to do with sexual sin. Isn't that interesting? You think the Bible's up to date or what? Absolutely it is. Look at verse 20. If verse 19 didn't get you, verse 20 will. Look at the first one in verse 20. What's that? Everybody in here, myself included, struggles with this one. Oh, I don't bow down to idols. I don't worship idols. Do you ever put anything ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's idolatry. Anytime you put anything in front of Him, first and foremost, that's idolatry. Because you know what you're doing? You're putting Him down and putting up whatever it is that you're putting ahead of Him. Look at what else it says. Witchcraft. Well, that wouldn't be practiced in a church like this, would it? Hello, over in 1 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 13, it says rebellion is as the sin of, guess what? Witchcraft. Look what else it says. Hatred. That's an interesting one there. A lot of you would probably say this morning, I don't hate anybody. And you think about people, I don't really hate anybody. Wait until somebody does you wrong, though. And you know what festers up inside your heart? Yeah, I'm going to get them. So watch that one. That may not be a problem now, but you've got to watch it. Doesn't come out of you. Look what else it says. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Well, that's a big one today at the end there, heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are rough verses, aren't they? I don't like reading those verses. Those verses tell me what I am without Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22 and it tells you what you are with Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad there's something that's better than what we just read? Look at 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No law. And they that are Christ have, what's that next word? Ooh, how is it that you conquer the flesh? The flesh has to be what, folks? Crucified. Romans 6, it says, Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You got to understand, that flesh that talks to you, that tries to get you to do contrary to the Holy Spirit, you know what the state of that flesh is right now according to your Bible? What is it, folks? That flesh is dead. You know what you have to do? You have to declare it. Reckon it. Good southern word in your Bible. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know what the solution to living a victorious Christian life is? It's in the last four words of verse 25. What is it, folks? Walk in the Spirit. Amen? Go to John chapter 2. Let's talk a little bit more about what's in man, particularly man without Jesus Christ. A couple verses here. John chapter 2. I know I read this many times. You know, we read John chapter 3. That's Nicodemus and Jesus Christ. You don't want to read John chapter 3 and start diving in there until you read the end of chapter 2. You get some interesting insight here. Look at John chapter 2 and go down there to verse 23. John 2:23. Again, this first point. What dwells within? 2:23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Now watch this. Because he knew all men. Remember that. He knew all men. Now watch 25. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You want to make sure you read the end of chapter 2 before you dive into chapter 3. We just saw Jesus knew all men. And in 25, verse 25, he knew what was in man. Keep that in mind when you get into chapter 3. Let's go on to chapter 3. Jesus knew all men. He knew what was in man. And then look at chapter 3, verse 1. There was a what? He knows all men. He knows what is in man. And look who shows up. A man. Oh, but this is no ordinary man. Right? He actually is. But look what your Bible says about him. A man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is, in the world's eyes, a very important man. But you know what this man is? He's an exceeding sinful man. Look at verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now look at the answer. Jesus, when you read verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ is all about giving the plain truth and not taking the flattery that he was just given. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there, let's recap here. Verse 2, 24. Chapter 2, verse 24. He knew all men. 2, 25. He knew it was in man. 3:1. There was a man. And then 3:3. Except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sounds like man's got some kind of problem then. Oh, he does. I'll let you study the rest of that chapter and consider some of those things. But go back to Genesis chapter 8. What is in man? Genesis chapter 8. When you go back to Genesis chapter 8, you're at the place where the Lord has destroyed the earth with a flood. Now hold on a second. Why did God destroy the earth with a flood? Because man was, help me out here, wicked and sinful. Okay, so here we are in chapter 8. A new start, a brand new beginning here for Noah and his family. 8 people. They get off the ark. And in chapter 8, verse 21, look at what the Lord says here. Look at what the Bible says, and you'll see the Lord speaking here. 8:21. This is after all the world's been flooded. Noah and his family are coming off the ark. 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is what? Evil from his youth. Well, I sure witnessed that one firsthand this week. And I could sit there and say, I saw that in action. But then I remember when I was 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. Do you remember that? How good were you back then? If you're honest, you weren't. Look at what it says here. Man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. I thought that was interesting. After God floods the earth, you got eight people, and the Lord still says, man's imagination from his heart is still evil. Folks, that is why when we got to John chapter 2 and chapter 3, a man must be born again. We got a problem. Okay, so let's go on here. Let's go back to Romans 7. How about we get to some good stuff here? Romans chapter 7. While you're going back there, I've got one more thing to tell you here. This was a very interesting little encounter I had while we were gone. I found out that people don't like to tell the truth. And that's not just kids, that's adults. So I will tell you one particular instance. By the way, before I tell you, aren't you glad that in a world full of lies and liars that you have a reliable source? And I know I listened to James and Jules' testimonies, which was fantastic. And if you haven't listened to that, you need to listen to that. It's fantastic. And James mentioned in there something that is so true. He said, I'm paraphrasing here. There's really nothing I can find anywhere that's true except what you find right here in the Bible. You just can't trust anybody. So I had a situation where, and I'll give you a little insight into the world we're living in. I had a situation where we had a 13-year-old boy, and this is not his fault, but he has two moms. This is the world we live in. The boys found out that he has two moms. So how do you think it went for that guy? Kids are mean. Kids are cruel. So it began to circulate, and it began to be the thing to do to say, the boy's name is Zev. Zev, you are a mistake. Poor kid. And this was said by several little boys. So I get called in. I'm the guy that takes care of this kind of stuff. Well, what a job, huh? I get called in on this one. And I'm given the names of three boys who said it. Okay, boy number one, and this is at night, so boys are already supposed to be in their cabins and all, and pull them out on the porch of the cabin. Boy number one, I had a couple of counselors with me there, and they're watching this whole thing. One of them apparently was looking at his watch while I was doing this, interrogation. And I think it took the kid 6 minutes, he said, before finally he stopped denying what he said and said, yeah, I said it. So finally we made some progress after 6 minutes. But he denied, I didn't say it, I didn't say it, no, I didn't say it, I didn't say it. And then finally he broke. So that's the first kid. Number two comes out. He's even harder. I didn't say it, I didn't say it, I didn't say it, I didn't say it. I basically just keep asking the same questions just different ways. Keep going at him. I didn't say it, I didn't say it. So I don't know how much time passed by, but the kid, I'm not making this up, I've never seen anything, I've been in education a long time, never seen anything like this. The kid falls down on the floor, eyes in the back of his head, he rolls back up. The two counselors that are there with me have to stop from dying laughing. And I had to do the same thing. So I just waited there and I thought, number one, this is not real. This kid does not want to come to grips with the truth. Number two, I'm just going to wait and see what happens here. So I just let him lay there. And finally I said, Will, are you okay? No answer, of course. And then finally, I had to help him up, but he gets back up. And he sat down in the chair and began to say, yes, I did it. You know what he wanted? He did that whole thing so that I would feel sorry for him and say, oh, are you okay? Let me go get the nurse. And it would have completely distracted from him being in trouble. Now, I would love to say that I myself would never do anything like that. And you'd probably like to say that you'd never do anything like that. But you got different ways, and I've had different ways in the past where I've tried to get out of something because I didn't want to come to grips with the truth. Folks, we need to come to grips with the truth of what we are. I'll tell you a little more about that kid, and this is the state of the world that we're in. He began to tell me how he has anxiety. He began to tell me how this all happened because of his anxiety. Well, his group leader gets the next day or a couple days after, gets his mother on the phone and tells the mother about what the boy said to this other boy and how he was confronted about it And he fell on the floor and made him, the group leader told him everything. This guy was really good at his job and just would tell the parents and set it straight. You know what the mom said? He goes to a school of ethics and would never do anything like that. Really? He did. And you see how adults try to cover for kids? Folks, this is the world we live in. Let's make sure that we're Bible-believing Christians here. We claim to be. Let's make sure that even though we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His grace alone, we don't forget what we really are. And without Him, we're nothing. Because you and I would act the same way if not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are still 100% capable of acting that way if we don't yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right, watch that. Okay, let's get some good stuff here. So we have what dwells within. How about what we should delight in? Look at verse 22. I got to hurry on this. 22. For I delight in the law of God after, notice the wording there, after the inward man. Where does Paul say this struggle takes place? It's an inward struggle. It is within me and it's within you. He says, I delight in the law of God. So I would want to take just a minute or two here. And let's look at some things that we should delight in according to the Bible. And go back to Psalm 1. And while you're turning there, I'll give you a statement that will help you. Psalm 1, here's the statement. That which you delight in will either feed or fight against the sin that dwells in you. That which you delight in will either feed or fight against the sin that dwells within you. So Psalm 1, what are we supposed to delight in? Look at verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. Watch the rest of the verse. It's good. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Folks, make God's word your delight. Meditate on it. And you'll see verse 3, it tells you what you'll be like. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know what that is? That's the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you because of what you're putting in you, the Word of God. Go to Psalm 37. All these will be in Psalms. So try to stay with me here. Psalm 37. Delight in the law of the Lord and good things will come out of you. You delight in anything else and nothing good will come out of you. Psalm 37, go to verse 4. 37:4. Delight thyself also in who? The Lord. Delight in the law of the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Notice the rest of the verse. If you do that, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and good things happen, folks. We got people right here that can give you testimony of good things because of what the Lord has done. Because you delighted in Him. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 8. Delight in the law of the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Look what else we should delight in. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. I think that there's a connection there in that verse. Between doing God's will, Thy will, and God's Word being in you, Thy law. It's a really good verse right there. You'll delight to do God's will if you're delighting in God's Word and delighting in the Lord. Go to Psalm 112. How about one more? Psalm 112. One more on delight. So how do we get victory over this wicked, sinful flesh? Hey, we're getting some solutions here. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in His Word. Delight yourself in doing delight in doing God's will. Look at Psalm 112. Look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in what? You seeing a trend here? God's Word should be our delight. God's Word ought to be in us. When God's Word in us, you actually can get victory over the flesh because good things will be going against all those evil things that your flesh wants to get you to do. Go back to Romans chapter 7. And while we're going over there, it's time for Christians to stop talking about how wicked people around us are and instead acknowledge how wicked we would be and are capable of being without God's Word being our delight. Folks, make sure you're reminded on a regular basis of what you really are. And I'm saying this because I'm coming out of, and I know that you may not completely relate here, but I'm coming out of just a really bad place. And it was grieving being there, but I had to continually look in the mirror and say, man, this could be me. This could so be me. And without Jesus Christ, it is me. And it's you too. So let's go back there to Romans chapter 7. And if you notice there, there's a verse I didn't read here. Look at verse 13. I want to go back up to verse 13. Paul gives you some insight here on this thing about sin within us. He says there, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. I really got my attention there. Sin, that it might appear sin. I think a lot of times us Christians like to say, well, it's not really that bad. I mean, it's just a little thing. By the way, and I know that you know this, but we need to be reminded there's no such thing as a little white lie. Folks, let's make sure that sin appears as it really is to us. Shouldn't we, Bible-believing Christians, see sin clearer than anybody else? And we ought to expose it, like the verse we had this morning, the unfruitful works of darkness. But we also ought to be aware of those things that can influence us in this regard as well. Just be aware of that. Now, I said we'd get some good stuff here. So go down there to verse 24 and 25. We've got what dwells within. We've got what we should delight in that will help in this battle against sin. And then notice here Paul, look what he says here in verse 24. 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, what a thing to say. I thought he was a good guy. Don't you think Paul's a pretty good Christian? What did Paul call himself? A wretched man. And then look why he says that. He'll tell you in verse 24. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You go over to Philippians and you find out that Paul says, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And you know, Paul, he was actually looking forward to the day when he was no longer in his sinful body. I know that we often, you've had loved ones die that are saved, and we grieve over them. I get that. But man, they sure got it good. You know why? They're not fighting the flesh anymore like me and you are. They got it really good. So that's what Paul's telling you there. He says, man, I can't wait for the day where I get delivered from this body of death. Look what he says in verse 25. He ends on a high note here. Well, after saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me just stop there and say something. Have you thanked God for what Jesus Christ has done for you lately? You have to thank Him all the time. It'll keep your mind off the things of this world. Thank God for saving you. And not only that, thank God for the things that He's allowed you to do for Him since you've been saved. I know Frank last week got to talk about the opportunities that God, and only the Lord, Frank, right? Only the Lord could have done, because Frank got saved and God began to just, there's an open door, there's an open door. Frank will tell you, he didn't do anything. He was doing his job. And then one door opens. Folks, thank God for what He allows you to do for Him since you got saved. Something to think about. Look at verse 25. Let's read the rest of it. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Do you see the contrariness of verse 25? You have the mind serving the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. Folks, the only way to get victory, in fact, I'm going to say deliverance here, because he says, who shall deliver me? The only way to get victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Thanks be to God, which gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Let's talk about this thing, where to find deliverance. We'll just wrap up here, a couple verses here. Romans chapter 8. Where to find deliverance. You're going to have this battle go on this week. Be reminded that there is victory available. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son. Now, before I read the rest of that. He that spared not his own son. Who is it that spared not his own son? Who is that? It's God the Father. Notice the capital S on son. He that spared not his own son, but, what's that next word? delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The way to deliverance is through the deliverer who God delivered up. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you that. Romans 11. You say the deliverer, really? Yeah, he's called that. The one who was delivered by God the Father is the deliverer. Look at Romans 11. Look at verse 26. This is some tribulation stuff, but neat stuff about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the what? You got a capital D? There's only one deliverer, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Only one. Folks, Jesus Christ offered himself as the sacrifice that we all need so that we can have forgiveness and eternal life from Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 5, he hath made him to be sin for us. Now hold on a second. Did Jesus Christ ever sin? Have you ever sinned? Yes, in you. He became sin, yet he never sinned, so that you and I, 2 Corinthians 5, might become the righteousness of God in him. How about you just revel in the work of Jesus Christ for a little while? And if it hasn't been personal to you, you won't revel in it. If it's personal to you, you'll say, man, what a great thing I got. How many order from Amazon? You can. Anybody? Okay, three people in here. Wow. I know it's kind of taboo to do this, but it sure is convenient. I order from Amazon. There's things I order. I'm thinking, man, I'm sure we'd be glad whenever that comes in. I needed that. Folks, there's nothing you could order from Amazon greater than the salvation you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be Christmas before you know it. You'll get gifts. Nobody can give you the gift that's better than what the Lord Jesus Christ gives you. The gift of God, which is eternal life through him, through Jesus Christ. So just be reminded of that. Last place we'll go here this morning. Go to 2 Corinthians 1 on deliverance. 2 Corinthians 1. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 1. And this is talking about the great work of God in deliverance. I think verse 10 will be a help to you. I know it's been a help to me. We'll read verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Interesting. The sentence of death in ourselves. Now, why was that? Well, how'd we start this morning? What's in you? Sin. What are the wages of sin? We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. Boy, that runs contrary to the world, doesn't it? Just follow your heart. Don't do that. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. It says there that we should not trust in ourselves, but in who? But in God. What did God do? Raise the dead. Raise our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Because of that, who, notice the tense here, past tense, delivered us from so great a death. Hey, are you going to face God's wrath if you're saved? Nope, you've been delivered. Amen. That's past tense. It's gone. There's no way. You ever thought about this? If you're saved, there's no way you can go to hell. Impossible. You've been delivered from that. But keep going in the verse. And doth deliver. Yes, I know it's not the English you're probably familiar with, but doth is present tense. You know what you need right now? You know what I need right now? Deliverance. What do I need deliverance from? I've been delivered from God's wrath. Deliverance from the sins of the flesh controlling me. That's what I need. How does that happen? How do I get delivered? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says at the end there. In whom we trust that He will, future, yet deliver us. Wait a minute. I thought I've been delivered. You have. You're not going to face God's wrath. Wait a minute. I thought I need deliverance right now. You do. You need deliverance from the flesh, from the sins of the flesh. Wait a minute. I'm getting deliverance in the future too? Yes. You're going to drop this body and no more longer have it. No more sinful body. Amen? That's at the rapture. You got deliverance in three tenses there. Isn't that neat? Folks, the key to deliverance is yielding yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's as simple as it can be. But it's not that simple all the time, is it? This is a day-by-day, no, second-by-second, step-by-step walk with the Lord. Let's make sure that when you, not when you walk out the door, but long before you walk out the door this morning, you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, ready to do that as you go through your day and go through your week. Because that's what the world needs to see. Doesn't the world need to see us as a bright and shining light? Don't they need to see that? Wouldn't you say? That's what they need. You're not going to be that. I'm not going to be that if we're not walking in the Spirit. In fact, if you're walking after the flesh, people will have a hard time seeing any difference in you and anybody who's unsaved. Be sure you're walking after the Holy Spirit rather than the flesh. A little quote here from Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley. She said, "Whatever weakens your reason impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and takes off the relish of spiritual things. That to you is sin." And folks, if there are some things that are taking away your tender conscience, taking away your sense of who God is and what He's done for you, or taking your desire for spiritual things and God's Word away, you need to get rid of those things. They'll keep you from walking in the Spirit today and every day this week. Let's pray together. Lord, I just ask that You'd help us as we respond to Your Word this morning. And I pray that the response would be not just here in the next few moments, but would be all during our week. I pray that we would truly be people that walk after the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that You'd just remind us of who You are, Lord, what You've done for us, and what You want to use us to do in the time that we've got here on this earth. And I just pray that our Christians here this morning respond the way they ought to. Pray also for anybody here among us who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would respond to be saved today and not put this thing off anymore. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.